Well, welcome. Welcome to Relationship 204. My name is Tanisha. Tanisha Simpkins, that is. Relationship 204 is part of Table Talk Radio Show. I want to welcome you guys here tonight. I am so thankful that you guys can join us at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Please tell a friend. Please share the post that you may have seen. Let them know that we are on the air, that we are live. They can listen by clicking the link on Blog Talk Radio, Relationship 204, or they can just give us a call and actually call in. I want to say welcome to some of the hosts here that are online with us now. Hello, good night. How you doing, Shakina?
Hey, y'all. This your girl, Shakina Bruton, joining the talk on tonight.
Awesome. Awesome. And also, hello, good night to Pastor G. How you doing?
What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? This is Pastor Gerald, a.k.a. PG. I am on, and I am ready to have a conversation with you guys.
Don't start, Shakina.
I'm on edge. I'm on edge already. Don't start.
Jesus, on edge. I just want to let you guys know, I know last week we were giving you a little bit about exactly what it is that we'll be talking about. One of the subjects that we'll be talking about is serial dating, and the other one would be about excessive baggage, which can be, it can go serious and it can go, you know, a different type of way. But Sister Men led on last week, so the women will be pretty much leading this week. Right now, Lewis and John is not on the line right now. They're taking care of something, but hopefully shortly they'll join us. I know the pastor, Carl, said that he would join us on the line, so he'll let me know when he's on the line so he can join in as well. I want to say, hey, Shakina, you was trying to do a live show earlier. I apologize. What happened with the alarm system? That was crazy.
Oh, man, devil always busy. You know how the devil do. He don't want nothing to prosper, but we got the victory because we going live later on. So y'all that follow me on social media and follow a pastor screen, y'all just watch our page. We'll be on before the night is over. And, you know, as it get later in the night, the conversation get a little more gooder. There ain't no word, but y'all know what I'm talking about. It gets good. So y'all just stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. And I did see that Pastor G was trying to do something live, too. By the time I clicked, he had to finish or whatever. So, guys, if you're listening, make sure that you follow all of us because we do our live. And make sure when you listen at the end of every broadcast live, it'll ask you to follow that person. So whenever they are doing something live, that you'll get a notification that you'll be able to keep up with us, and we appreciate it. So we're going to go ahead and get right into what we're talking about tonight. And Shakina, you want to go first or me go first?
Now you can go ahead. When you get the mic, honey, let it roll. Let it flow.
Okay. The topic we're talking about is serial dating. You may have seen this a little bit from different people on their social sites about serial dating. Now you have some people who are actually, you know, writing books and blogs when it comes to, serial dating. And people will ask, well, what exactly is a serial dater? You know what I'm saying? Because we hear about it, but, you know, what exactly is a serial dater? So I did look up the definition for the serial dater. It said serial daters are jacked and don't believe in everlasting love. So they fill their time with temporary men or women who fill the void of a long-term relationship. A serial date is someone who dates a lot of people in a short span of time in order to weed out the ones they don't want. Now, that was the definition of what I got from the textbook Serial Dater. Now, if you're looking for a relationship, getting involved with a serial dater can be, you know, to me, somewhat a waste of a time. What's a serial dater? Simply put, is someone who dates many people but manages to steer clear of a long-term commitment. Serial daters can be charming and a lot of fun to be with, but they'll probably leave you once they, you know, get that thought of, okay, this is going to be a long term. So, no. So then you'll find yourself being alone. You can recognize serial daters early on before you get involved. And there's ways that we can avoid those people. Now, some of us may have been serial daters because, and I said that on the last, did I say that on the last show? I think I just said it to y'all privately. You know, there has been moments maybe in some people's lives where they're not looking for long term. Now, just because you're a serial dater, that doesn't mean you're promiscuous. Let's not get the two the same, right?
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Actually, what you said was, let me, because I got a perfect memory.
What you said was
that you believe in serial dating, or at least you used to believe in serial dating. Of course, you're not serial dating now because of your current situation, but you believe in serial dating. I'm just waiting. I'm really just waiting. I want to know, why did you believe in serial dating? I just really want to know.
Because at that time, when you're, I guess maybe as you get older, I don't know, you're not looking for someone. You know, there's points in your life you want to be committed. You say, okay, I'm going to be committed. I want to be married. But then there's points where you probably have already been in a relationship, a long-term relationship, or you just, as we would say, just don't have the time to get serious or long-term. So you just have friends. You know, you just have friends. You may go out casually, have a good time, and that's about it. That's what serial dating is. You're just going out having a good time. Not going out having a good time sexually, not going out having a good time, you know, being promiscuous, but you just enjoying some of the people who you're with. Now, some people are okay with that because a lot of people, especially as they get, you know, through age or feel like they've done enough in a relationship, have been married 20 years and don't want to go back, you know, down that same road, that's what they believe, you know, so they tend to have different people that they do date casually.
Okay.
Did that explain that?
Well, not really, because the definition that you just gave of a serial dater does not match what you just said a serial dater is.
I said in the beginning, a serial dater is someone who dates many people but managed to stay clear, which I wrote, from a long-term commitment.
Okay, but why?
Is it because you're afraid of a long-term just because you may want a long-term relationship for every relationship that you're in, that does not mean that other people feel that way.
But
you understand what I'm saying?
But I'm trying to get a clear understanding here. When you're dating someone, you're dating to see whether or not this person is compatible with you to have a long-term relationship.
If that's your mindset. That's only if that's your mindset. Every person's mindset may not be there at that moment. That's why we
So what you dating for?
You ask questions. If you're a person who has different friends are dating and you do your 100 questions or whatever, and you know, one of the questions always mostly is are you looking for a long term relationship, are you looking for a commitment? And if that person says no, I'm just having a good time, just dating, having fun, you already know right there then you're not gonna stick around. You're not gonna assume to that person to you know, unless you feel like, well, maybe I can convince them later. You know, you already know, you know, in the beginning. So, guys, if you have any questions or if you want to have a comment, you can just press 1. You can join in if you like. Go ahead. Shaquen, do you have anything to say? You're kind of quiet.
No, I'm listening to you and Pastor G go back and forth, you know, but I do want to chime in a little bit on that and talk
Pastor
about this
G
whole
thing. Like, he just don't understand. He just don't understand why would a person want to date someone and it's not long term. Every person that you meet or every date that you've gone on, I wouldn't assume that person is a long term person for my life. You understand what I'm saying?
We out people
that we meet, even as friendships. We wee out some of the people. We meet people. That doesn't mean that, okay, you kind of put them in a category. Okay, I put this person, him or her, in a category that, you know, I just, you know, that we okay. And I may put this person in a category that, you know, we cool, I can talk to, I can, you know, get my secrets to. And, you know, we wee out different people that we meet. And that's the same as dating. You weeing out the person who you may feel that you will have a long-term, a longevity with, or marriage.
Okay, but do we call that dating though? If we're not compatible, and I don't see you being in a long term relationship, I'm not dating you. We just friends. We hanging out. We just friends. If I'm dating you, that means that I'm trying to get to know you.
Some people don't like the term dating. They'd rather use the term courting. Some people don't like to use the term courting. Some people just say we just friends. I mean, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but if you're going out on a date, you're dating.
Okay.
But let's just say this here, you know, to all the serial daters out there, you know, if that's your preference, that's your preference. What I would say to serial daters, understand why you're being a serial dater. If you're someone right now that's listening to this call and you know you are a serial dater, you're always out on a date, whether male or female, as long as you know why you're doing that, I'm okay with that, because here's my issue. If you can't explain to me why you're dating so much, you're somebody I definitely don't want in my pathway. But if you can say, I am dating like this because I'm looking for a relationship and I want to weed them out quickly, then I understand. Or if you can say, I'm not interested in a relationship right now, I just want to go out on dates, I'm okay with that too. But know why you're doing what you're doing, and that's my only thing. I, at one point, was a serial dater as well. I was a serial dater. I went out a lot. But my issue was I didn't like being single, and I wanted to be married. And so I dated, and I can meet you today and don't call you tomorrow. Next, meet you today, don't call you tomorrow. Next, you know, because I was trying to find someone that's compatible for me to be with, to spend the rest of my life with. So that's why I was a serial dater. But then I realized that doesn't work for me, because, you know, as women, we got to be wise, you know, because of the double standard rule out there that man made up. Nowhere in the Bible does that exist. But because of the double standard, you know, I had to get a little bit more wiser with my serial dating. So now I couldn't really date in public places. I had to date at off-peak hours, you know what I'm saying, when nobody would see me. And then again, if somebody spots you, people will automatically, from a woman's standpoint, automatically assume they together, or they being promiscuous. They're sleeping together. I know they're sleeping together. I'm like, I'm on one date, just met this brother, and I'm sleeping with him now. So I had to change that part of my lifestyle. I couldn't be a serial dater no more, because I needed to protect my glory. I needed to protect who I am as a woman. And although it's not fair because of the double standard rule, I had to do what I had to do that was best for me. And I stopped doing the serial dating thing, you know, because that wasn't working for me anyway. So understanding why, that's what I want to put out there to our listeners on tonight. Understand why you're a serial dater, and being able to identify a serial dater. Tanisha, you touched on that a little while ago. You said there are signs. Share with us, what are the signs that identify this man or woman you just met is not what you're looking for, and they are not on your same page, and they are a serial dater? What are the signs?
Oh, okay.
I have a question before you get to the side. I have a question. Shakina just, and this is serious, this is a serious question. Shakina just mentioned the double standard. And so I'd like, it's a twofold question. I'd like to know why you could, most women, not saying, you know, not singling you guys out, but why is it that most women, or some women, I should say, can notice the double standard when it comes to females, but not notice the double standard when it comes to men? For example, in this situation, y'all believe in serial dating, but if you find a man that believes in serial dating, oh, he a dog. He just a player.
No, y'all do it all the time.
He want to be out with a different woman every other day, and you will, most women will assume if a man is seen with another woman, a different woman than he was with last week, they will assume, oh, he's smashing both of them, and he playing both of them, or he's using them. So that's my question. Why can't we see the double standard when it comes to women as well? And then why? I'm still not understanding this serial dating thing. I don't think you can call it serial dating. It's not serial dating. I don't know what it is, but it ain't dating. It ain't dating, because if you're dating somebody, to me, the definition of dating means I'm getting to know who you are. I'm getting to know who you are, and if there should be something I like about you.
How about we say serial dating?
Well, that's because you put just the word dating on it.
Yeah, take out dating, just date.
Okay. Okay, but answer my other question, please, properties.
Well, I can answer that question. I don't think it's
easy to answer it.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't think it's double standards, because if you meet someone and hopefully that person is upfront and honest with you, I mean, I've met different people, they say, you know, oh, I'm just kicking it by myself, you know, I'm just enjoying, as they would say, just enjoying, you know, friendships and so forth. You have to trust and believe that's what they say. You know what I'm saying? If you meet a guy, women, you know, and if they say that, you know, I just have friends, that's an indication right there. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of girlfriends. I have friends. You know, they're letting you know, okay, well, at one point in time when you call me, you ask me what I'm doing, I may tell you that I'm going out with such and such. You understand what I'm saying? And that happens. Not only does that happen as we thinking of being secular, but that also happens with people who are in the church as well. A lot of people, you know, who you meet sometimes may not be ready for long-term relationship. You know, they may be afraid sometimes of just being committed. And some people just like, not me, but just like to be single, you know? And
right.
Go ahead.
This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. If we're going to, for me, if I'm going to be dating, or I'm going to be giving advice to people who are dating, I'm not going to encourage you to be a serial dater. So to my listeners that are out there, if you are not ready to be in a relationship, leave people alone. Because that's confusing to me. You make it hard for brothers like myself who are actually trying to find somebody, and even for women like Shekinah and Tanisha, who are actually trying to find someone that they can share their life with. And the dating process is already jacked up and hard, and it's frustrating as it stands. But now we're throwing in serial daters. I mean, that just makes it more complicated.
Let me give you an example of some people who be serial daters and don't even know it. They may not go out on dates, but they conversate with different people until they weed them out exactly which girl or which guy they wanna, you know, take out or be with, you know, or that woman or man may have two different separate friends. You kind of like this one and kind of like that one. But, you know, this one, I really want to make it serious. Let me figure out which one do I want to get with or the one that I want to be with and not, you know, not the other. You know, a lot of times when people go into relationships or even long-term relationships, they have multiple friends. You know what I'm saying? And they weed them out. Not everybody have that one friend when they talking to that one person. They usually have multiple friends, and they say, you know what, I got a thought person. I think I'm going to get serious with this person. You know, both men and women do that. You know, they serial dating, but they have serial friendships of they weeding out the process of who exactly that they want to be with. You know, so I could take the dating part out about it, but they have multiple friendships of who they decide that, you know, I think this person outweighs this person. I think I'm going to go with this person. We do that. I mean, we can't, I can't speak for you, but I can say that 9 times out of 10 people do that.
you know, have multiple friends and they decide who it is that they want to actually, you know, try to get something started with.
I guess I'm a little old fashioned. I don't do it like that. I've never done it like that. I've never talked to multiple women at the same time trying to figure out which one. I already knew based on what I've seen from afar.
Whoever you talk to, you automatically hooked.
No, that doesn't mean I'm automatically hooked. But if I'm conversating with the young lady to lead up to try to figure out if I'd like to make something happen with her, I'm conversating with that one young lady. I'm not doing that with multiple women at the same. It gets complicated. It gets confusing because then you got to start lying.
You start spending a lot of money. Add that piece.
Yeah, you got to spend a whole lot of money. Because women, y'all done already established last week that y'all love to eat, get a free meal. So
that's right. You be home.
So let me ask. That's right. So let me ask you this, Pastor Gerald. Pastor G. So you meet two women at the same time on the same day. What do you do? Both seem interesting. What do you do?
Both seem interesting. Then I will talk to one and, you know, I'll see where it goes with that one.
You ain't gonna talk to that one.
You're
gonna talk to the both
of us.
You're gonna talk to them and say, "Okay, you're the one."
You know what? Look here. Wait a minute. Listen. Hold on. Time out. Let's take a break. John and Lewis, if y'all are listening, I need y'all's help because they tried to get me, and I'm the only one here. Come on. Where's Pastor Carl? Pastor Carl, come on, help a brother out here, please.
No, but you know good and well, because let's be honest, I do it too. From a female perspective, if you're all the way single and you meet two brothers at the same time in the same place or even in different locations, I'm going to talk to both of y'all. I'm going to hang up with one, and when I'm done, then call the other because I'm trying to see who's more interesting to me, which one that I want to give my attention to. So I got to weed them out, okay? I got to talk to both of them.
The thing is, I'm gonna become your friend first, and I'm not gonna be taking you out on no date. I'm not gonna buy you no meal. I'm not gonna talk to you on the phone like that. We're not gonna do that. We're gonna be friends first. I mean, that's just the way I do. I'm not gonna do all that.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm your friend, we will connect as friends, and I won't be. See, there's a difference. There's a process to this thing, especially in this generation. There's a process to this thing. Y'all start off. The first stage is okay. We talking, and we getting to know each other. We trying to figure out: do we want to become an item? Do we want to start dating? And then once you move past the talking stage, then you go to the dating stage, and somewhere in between talking and dating, or somewhere in the dating stage, you decide to become exclusive. And then this is my girl, this is my man, and we exclusive.
Well,
we're not seeing anyone else.
You wouldn't be serial dating then because you guys have made a commitment. That's a difference.
But see, that's what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't expect you to be dating anybody else, period. No, that won't happen.
Okay. All right. I think that we should just. How come we just can't do it like they did it in the old school? You know, if you like somebody, you like somebody. You know, old school. They just you know, they like. I like that young lady over there. I'm talking to her, and you know, one at a time.
There's a shortage of good men, so we can't date one at a time. The good ones aren't hard, the good ones are hard, so we gotta ransack the world trying to find a good egg. Jesus.
Look, we not hard to find. Hey. Good men are not hard to find. You just got to stop trying to look. because it ain't your job to look. Mm. No way. It's your job to be in position
right.
so that you can be found.
Taboo.
So let me get to this caller here. I have a caller here. Hey, caller, with your phone number ending in 6952. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Trenton, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. And what would you like to add to the show?
I just wanted to paint the analogy because I understand the idea of, like, it sounds kind of flaky when somebody's like, oh, I'm talking to multiple people. But it's kind of like, for example, if you have a few people texting you, like if you're texting your mom, you're texting your aunt, you're texting your sister, when your sister calls, it's kind of like you're focusing on that phone call. People might be wanting to text you, but clearly you're focusing on the phone call instead of the text messages. The phone call is like in priority. So it's like you can meet a few people in a day. You can, you know, obviously if you're messaging them privately or talking on the phone with them, more likely text messaging, you're showing that you're single. You know, I wouldn't be in a relationship just texting somebody that I just met. But
right.
people do that. But when you're texting or you're talking or whatever, that's showing, hey, I'm single, but that doesn't mean that I'm interested in being in a relationship with you. Of course, you paint, I'm interested in being in a relationship. So it's like the analogy, y'all are texting. But when somebody is showing the interest to you and you feel interested with them, you can't have like that lead it on spirit with other people who you were texting. You got to answer the call. You know what I mean?
I get
and
it.
And that's a
I
good
agree.
Example.
I totally agree. Yep, good example.
So,
I'm baffled, New Jersey. I'm baffled because y'all sound like the men that y'all dog out. That's what y'all sound like to me. Y'all sound very men that y'all dog out. That's not extreme. Y'all sound like the men that all women dog out. Girl, he's a player. When he hang up the phone with you, he's calling somebody else. When he get up, why is he on the phone with you? He's texting somebody else. When he drop you out, he going to go pick somebody else. He's a dog. He a player. That's what y'all sound like. And for the life of me, I do not understand why this generation especially has such a hard time with being committed or faithful or loyal to just one person. That's a character flaw to
no
me.
No one. Okay, let me explain something to you. No one. The subject is not about not being committed to a relationship or being committed to someone. It's about serial dating, or it's about, you know, dating multiple people.
But if you are a serial dater,
it's about being single and you decide to have friends. I use the word friends since you don't like the word serial dater. Having, you know, multiple
Tanisha.
Friends. You know, you have a friend that, you know, it's not about if a person don't want to be committed, because if they wanted to be in a committed relationship, they'll be in a committed relationship. Or they'll decide that, okay, I'm in a committed relationship and I want to be committed to this person. That's not an issue. You understand what I'm saying?
But Tanisha,
even you as a young man, if you meet someone, I would hope that the first person that you meet, you wouldn't trip, fall. You understand what I'm saying? Because you have to get to know this person, you know, and it takes time.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying, however, though, is I'm not going to be – if I'm interested in Tanisha, if I'm interested in trying to get Tanisha, I'm not going to be trying to get to know Tanisha. I'm not going to be talking to be interested in trying to get to know Shekinah as well and then trying to get to know the young lady from New Jersey as well. That just don't make sense to me.
But the person that you're pursuing in the long term, they have to be in agreement also.
Okay, if they're not in agreement, then if we're not in agreement, then she's not the one. Okay, if I'm trying to get to know Shekinah and Shekinah says, okay, I'm serial dating. I'm not, you know, I'm really dating. I'm dating somebody else. And I'm going to be like, okay, then if you date somebody else, then don't add me to your list because I can't, that's not what I agree with. I don't agree with that. I'm not, no. And then what if she says, like, okay, well, why would you be offended by that? We don't even know each other. Well, that's the point. I'm trying to get to know you, and I don't want you to be trying to get to know nobody else because I'm not going to be trying to get to know nobody else. I just want you to try to get to know me. I'm complicated enough. I have enough personality for you to try to be, you ought to be spending all your extra time ought to be spent trying to get to know me. How you going to be trying to get to know me? And then trying to get to know John and Lewis at the same time. After a while, you're going to call John Lewis, you're going to call Lewis Gerald, and Gerald John.
Well, hey, here's the thing. I told you up front what time it was. You know what I'm saying? So that's my thing. If you identify up front what time it is, you have the choice to exit left. Stick around thinking you're going to change my mind,
right. And
my mind never changed. That ain't my problem. That's your problem because you thought you was God. And only God is the only one that can change my mind. So my issue with what you're talking about, Pastor G, is if you identify that Shekinah is not interested in just you only, and she's telling you she's going to holler at John and Lewis, that's your point to say, you ain't for me. I got to go, or maybe ain't the right timing because she got to do her thing. Whatever. We need to be mature adults while we're dating.
That's what it's about.
Be honest with the red flags. The red flags are saying she ain't ready.
I agree.
The red flags are saying he not ready. So if the red flags are indicators to stop, don't pass go, don't collect $200, then stop. Because if you don't, you're going to wind up in jail. Why am I Monopoly? I'm my mom. Lord, help me. I was playing Monopoly last night. Y'all forgive me.
I agree with that, Shekinah. I actually agree with that. But my point still remains. Women always dog men for having that type of mentality. And here it is. All three of the women that have spoken on this subject tonight have agreed to the exact same thing that y'all dog men out about.
Wait,
that's confusing to me.
No, we don't dog y'all out. That actually segues way into the topic I was going to bring up. But let me say this to you, Gerald. We don't dog y'all out, you know, for being serial daters. We don't. The women that do, I can't speak for all women, but let me say for the women that do get mad because a man got all these women and they really want to be the one and he's dating, she has issues. Because ain't no way I'm going to be a woman of value. Know my self-worth, and I meet a man that he has already shown me clearly by his fruit, his actions, that he is a serial dater, that I'm going to continue moving forward. Now, that brings me to this next topic. You moving forward, there's something within me that's a problem.
What's the name of that song you played the other day, Tanisha?
Good woman.
Yeah.
Good
woman. See, when men start doing that, what y'all talking about, then y'all start playing songs like that. Y'all start
We already addressed the fact that some women do that. I'm not going to say they don't. Some women do have an issue within themselves because they want to be the one that they found, but he don't think you the one yet because he's still looking.
Exactly.
It is what it is. But it takes me to that point takes me to the very next topic, which is carrying excessive baggage. Why do we carry excessive baggage? Are you carrying excessive baggage into your next, whatever your next is, relationship, whatever? You're doing too much. You're going beyond. You're exceeding the usual. You know what I'm saying? Why do we do that? And that plays a part, Pastor G, in our dating. You know, we have an issue. Us people, all of us have been there. Well, we go from one relationship to the next, and we're carrying the baggage from the last relationship to the next relationship, you know? And so now I'm meeting someone else. I'm trying to get into this dating game, and I meet a really good guy like Pastor G, like Lewis, like John. But y'all identify this woman of God or this woman, she just got too much baggage. I mean, it's, she's doing too much. She's going beyond. I mean, she got insecurity issues. She got low self-esteem. She lacks confidence in her own self. I mean, she got issues, daddy issues. I mean, she got all this baggage. Her credit ain't together. You know, she got this spirit of jealousy on her. She nagged me all the time. She always called me, want to know who I am. She's clingy. These are some of the baggages that we carry, male and females, from relationship to relationship. She was hurt by the last two brothers, or he was married before, and now he don't want to get married no more, and I'm a good woman, and he telling me he'll marry in 10 years, and I ain't ready. These are all types of baggage that we carry. It's too much to our very next relationship. And the question is, why are we carrying excessive baggage? When do you, or how do you identify that you are carrying this excessive baggage to your new relationship? How do you dump it? How do you get free from it? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Let's deal with issues within ourselves. Let everyone that's listening to us under the sound of my voice, it's time to take an introspective look within yourself and let's say, what's going on with me? Why am I still single? That's the number one question. It could be because you are carrying excessive baggage. People who are ready for marriage can identify your issues immediately. And people that's spiritual can see your demons immediately. Right. I just said that in two ways, for those that's carnal minded and those that's in the spirit. People can see.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I was a good woman, and I knew I was ready for marriage. I dealt with my baggage, and I'm going to share how I dealt with my baggage. So when the right man showed up, he didn't have to get a woman that was still hurt from the last relationship. Every time he do something, I'm thinking it's the ex-boyfriend, and he like, I'm not her, babe. You keep blaming me for what he did to you. I'm not him. Like,
right.
I know a lot of us have had them conversations in our relationship. You keep treating me like I was your ex, or you talking to me like
right.
I was your ex, because they took that baggage from the old relationship to their new
right.
relationship, and we have to stop. This is the process when you stop serial dating and you do a self-evaluation, and you say, are you sure you're ready to be married? You sure you're ready to settle down? And if that's the case,
right.
let me go back and let me look at all of my past relationships. And let me look at what I did wrong. See, we got to stop playing victim to say, oh, my last ex, man, they cheated on me. They took me any kind of way. They didn't treat me how
mm-hmm.
I deserve. No,
mm-hmm.
no, 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 no. You got to
yeah.
look at yourself and say, why did you allow that to happen to you? Because if you are
yeah.
a good woman, a woman that's valuable, that's almost like somebody give you a diamond ring. A 6-carat
yeah.
diamond ring. You know that ring is valuable. You ain't going to lay it anywhere. You're going to keep it clean. You're going to protect it. That's how you're supposed to see yourself as men and women. So you ain't going to let any and everybody just possess you, any and everybody just talk to you. You're not even going to present yourself to any and everybody, because they may be like the devil who's coming to kill, steal, and destroy you. So you got to be very
right.
careful with yourself
right.
and handle yourself with care, because you are fragile and you are a valuable person. So you have to stop,
absolutely.
Look at yourself and ask yourself. Stop looking at, I see people on Facebook all the time, and it's so sad. Even the leader on Facebook venting, they're bleeding out about their past relationship. It's stupid. You're bleeding out before the people about your ex, and you're a leader in the body of Christ. No, you need to stop and look at yourself. Stop blaming her for what she did to you. Stop blaming him for what he did to you, because you're going to take that baggage to your very next relationship. And the very next
right.
relationship, what may be your Isaac, but you're going to run him away. He may be your boy.
Right.
You're going to miss out carrying unnecessary baggage. Stop. Deal with your past. Why did you allow that to happen to you? Even take it back to your own childhood, things that you saw in your family, things that you saw your mom and your dad go through. Trust me, that's baggage that you've been carrying for years, not having a daddy.
Right.
I didn't have a daddy, so I always was attracted to older men. And I've dated older men the majority of my life because I didn't have
right.
a daddy, not realizing that was impacting my picking when I decide to pick or say yes to the next man, that was driving my decisions. So a lot of reasons why you are being mistreated, women, a lot of reasons why you're being mistreated, men, is because you have this excessive baggage that you carry, and it's time to stop and dump it. It's time for you to stop and look within yourself and get all of that baggage up out of you. So when you move to the next relationship, you're ready and you're whole, he ready and he's whole, and y'all can be the next power couple. But you can't, you ain't going to be no power couple. You're going to be a puny couple, a couple with drama, a couple that's always fussing and fighting. You can't get along because both of y'all have excessive baggage. You got too much. You're doing too much. You need to go and stop and heal. That's when you need to stop dating. Stop dating. If you've been in a relationship in this year, this is the last thing I'm going to say. We're in the month of May, and queens like myself is born in the month of May. Hashtag that. if you have been in at least two relationships, and it's only been 5 months, and you know you ready, and you keep saying you wifey material. You keep saying you ready to be married. You keep saying you want a wife. 5 months already, and you've already been through two relationships. You ain't ready, because it's not them as to why it didn't work out. Because for one, they probably not the ones anyway. But you tried it because you were desperate, or you tried it because you couldn't wait. The problem was you. Why did you say yes to that mess? I'm done.
Okay. Go ahead. I'd like to say that I really, really, that was powerful, Shekinah. That was powerful, and I agree with Shekinah. And I'm gonna actually add this. I think that's probably why people do a lot of serial dating, because they don't know who they are and what they want. And they're not whole. So I got to go be with this person and this person and this person at the same time so I can figure out what I want and who, and what I like and who I am and what makes me happy. If you find yourself in that position, if you find yourself in that position, like Prophet Shekinah just said, it's time for you to take a step back, have several seats, and get yourself together. You've got to figure out what it was in your past relationships, or in your past circumstance, or whatever it is that's causing you to make these decisions. Now, and some people's defense, and I'm going to speak from a man's perspective. There are, and I think I mentioned this last week. There are situations sometimes that you will come across where some baggage you won't be able to get rid of by yourself, and it's going to take that special somebody to come and help you unpack your bag. But the point that Shekinah just made is, in order to get to that point, in order to get to the point where you say, okay, look, I done got rid of all of the stuff that I can get rid of, and you know, I think I'm ready for this relationship. In order to get to that point, you've got to take some self evaluation. You've got to reflect on yourself. You've got to get to the point. I'm gonna say it again. I keep saying this. You've got to put yourself in position so that you can take possession of your promise.
I love that. Now,
let me say this right here.
Shekinah asked a question, and the question was, you know, like, sort of like, why does it happen, and why do we become that way? And my analogy is that experiences that we've done in the past kind of show up in the present, in our present life. You know, one of the most baggage that people carry is being heartbroken. You know, whether you're heartbroken as a child, or you become heartbroken as a, you know, young adult, or even as an adult in relationships, or your parents, then it becomes that baggage of just trusting. You know what I'm saying? Of trusting. And a lot of us, especially as Black women, that's probably one of our most baggage that we have. Trusting and being in love and knowing how to love, because I hate to say it, that and yeah, Absolutely, Pastor Carl. We are creatures of habit, because one of the things is, you know, we and I hate to say it again, is that a lot of us grew up without that father in our home. So we have to now have to trust a man. And your mama done told you, don't trust that man. Don't trust that your uncles. Don't trust this man. You grew up, hearing those things. So when you meet people and you meet men, it's like, you know, you got one side eye looking at them at the same time. Like, you know, can I love you? Are you going to love me? You know, and then you carry these same baggages on as you get older, you know, that heartbroken baggage of not wanting to or not being sure enough that if this person loved me or you can love. And it causes a big thing. It's a huge baggage. And then the other baggage of just being, of not knowing how to love or been loved. How many times you have people that say they never been loved, they don't know how to love, show me what love is, or they're looking for love in all the wrong, and it becomes a disappointment, you know. And what happens is you meet someone who just showers you with love, and you're thinking, no, you're going to treat me just like the same person who I was with, who belittled me, who did this, who cheated, who stole, who, you know, whatever the case may have been that they've done. So, and then you find yourself doing the same things in the past relationship. I think it was Gerald was saying, in the past relationship to the person that you have now that you're not even realizing that you're doing, but they do. I think it was Shekinah saying spiritualized, but they do. They recognize it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
instead of
addressing it, like you said, Gerald, trying to unpack that baggage, addressing it, most of us will be like, no, I'm not doing that, and destroy a good relationship.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That's what Pastor Gerald said, because God, I'm going to be honest, that's a special case, what Pastor Gerald talked about somebody helping you unpackage that baggage. But God will give somebody a special grace. God will give someone a special grace and a special love for you to help you unpack, because some people are so damaged, they're so wounded, they're so hurt, that it's going to take somebody who has a special grace, who has a special love for you, unconditional love, who don't mind dealing with long suffering.
Right.
But,
temperate.
But it would take God, but God can use that person. And most times when that happens like that, they do wind up being best friends and lovers, and then sometimes it was just for that person to help you unpack for the one that God has for you. You know, I can remember a relationship that I was in where God had gave me a special grace and a special love for this man. And although I was tired of the foolishness and tired of how he was treating me, I couldn't leave him, although I wanted to. But the Lord knew I can handle the warfare. I could handle the affliction. And God wanted me to endure just to help set him free. I had to take the beating so he can feel convicted for beating me. And I'm not saying physical beating. I'm just saying like verbal. I'm just saying mistreating. You know, I had to show him what love was. I had to love him in spite of all the stuff he would do to me. I still had to show him God's love, you know. So what God did was he used me to plant seeds. I planted so many seeds in his heart of what being patient means, what being understanding means, what loving someone unconditional means. In spite of all the whooping I was taking, and I was begging, Lord, is this over, God? How much longer do I have to take this? God said, I grace you.
Right, right.
I need to use you. I need to use you to help this king. This is a king, and he's going to be used for my glory. Let me use you. So I had an anointing.
Mm.
I had something special God gave me to endure that season. And you know what? I don't know what's going on with the brother now, because it's been a long time since I talked to him or even heard from him. But I know that made me a better person. That actually raised my stock, because now my next relationship, I got more patience. I got more love.
Right.
I got more understanding. I can now serve a multitude of people. You know, that raised my thought, because you saw it now shows my new relationship, man, you are a mighty woman of God. Look how much you love me. It will make my man love me even more now, because I'm patient. Because when the stubborn king rise up in him,
Instead of Jezebel rising up into me, I humble myself and turn the other cheek. Guess what that does for him? Make him, oh, I'm so sorry. But what you want? You want to go shopping now? It makes him love me even more. So it raised my stock. It raised my stock. But, like I said, God will give somebody a special grace, a special love to help you unpackage the baggage. And some people nowadays really need somebody. But the issue is everybody looking for love and nobody want to really help and sit down and help one another because it's too much. If sit down and help somebody get through their season, God will bless you.
It's all about communicating.
And that's what happens for me.
It's all about communicating. But listen, guys, I have, I just want to, they've been on the line for a while, so they have been listening. Hey, John, how are you? Is that John? Oh, I ain't did the wrong person. Pastor Carl, are you there?
I am. My apologies, by the way. My apologies. I am on. It just was in a noisy area. I couldn't speak much.
Okay.
Bless you, brother. Bless you.
I didn't know if you had anything that you wanted to say. Anything that you wanted to add.
No, I'm good. I'm listening. I'm taking all the good stuff in tonight that y'all have just sharing. Enjoying myself, taking a lot of the wisdom in. Awesome call tonight. Awesome call.
Awesome, awesome. And Pastor Carl, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Did you want to add anything to what we were saying?
Well, you know, I got on late, and I heard the prophetess in her exposition, and I caught that piece, but I'm thinking that we're talking about. I don't know what we're talking about. I'm sorry.
We're talking about carrying excessive baggage to the next relationship.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
The question was, why do we do it? How do we identify we're doing it? You know, how do we change from doing it?
Uh-huh.
And how can we help each other when you get into those relationships? You know, because it's about helping each other. When you identify or you see someone that you may see that maybe they brought that particular baggage into the relationship, I think it's a time to communicate and talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Without the other person feeling some type of way, her feeling some type of way, him feeling some type of way, or embarrassment or anything like that. I think that helps with the healing process. If you're up for it.
Absolutely. But I think that toxic people create toxic relationships.
Talk, Pastor Carl.
If you're not willing to be healed from toxicity, it's going to develop. It's like this. If there is a cut, if someone has a cut that is never treated, it turns into a sore.
Right.
It transitions from a sore into a disease if it's still not treated, and then from a disease, it's either going to kill you, or if it's depending on the part of the body that it is, it has to be amputated. You know, you either cut it off, or you're just going to let it grow and fester, and it eventually is going to take you out. So, anything that is toxic, and that's a problem within Christendom, where we fail to release ourselves from things that have become toxic in our lives. We entertain toxic behavior. We entertain toxic relationships, and it's a result. It's a result based on our own past. And I heard Tanisha said something about that. I think it was. It's coming from our own insecurities, from whether it's from your childhood. And sometimes we can, you know, we're the great pretenders, but we remain creatures of habit.
Absolutely.
Wow. So we will sit there and we will we will endure things, and then we say things like, you know, no pun intended, God wants me to endure this hardship like a good soldier. Then that's not the will of God. If God is a just God, if God is a fair God, and if God is righteous in all of his ways, why would he want me to endure something that should be good for me but is not being good to me? Then ultimately it wasn't for me. Or that thing is
or
it
could have been an assignment. It could have been an assignment. You know, some things come for a lesson, some things are a blessing. I mean, it's a lot of ways you can look at it. But I agree with you, Pastor Carl. You know, toxic people attract toxic people. You are what you attract.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they
mm-hmm.
used to say back in the day. You are what you attract. And if you continue to attract the same type of toxic, you got to look at yourself. Why am I still attracting mm-hmm. the same type of women or the same type of men?
Mm-hmm.
Something is going on within myself that I'm attracting toxic relationships. And I think for our listeners that's listening in right now, you need to take a look within yourself. If you're still struggling in your singleness and no one has found you or you haven't found your wife, it's time to look at yourself. You may be the one that's toxic. And you need to go
mm-hmm.
before the Lord.
Yep.
And that's
Amen.
The only way I tell you, the only way they're going to get free, I'm telling you, is to go before the Lord. For those that's not saved on the line, for those that's not
find
saved,
I'm
going to pray for you. But you better find the Lord, because let me tell you something. Women, we have been told as young girls, as little girls, as women all for years, we can change a man. That is the biggest lie that they ever told us as little girls. You cannot change no man. Okay?
You can't
only
change
God
nobody.
Only God can change him. And you know, it just goes back to what Shakina and I were saying a little earlier. You've got to get yourself in a place where you can receive from God the promises that he has for you. And as Pastor Carl was saying, if you are that toxic person, you're not going to do anything but contaminate the other person. So why? It goes back to, you know, the first topic we were talking about. It's my belief that people who are toxic or who are sick or who have a lot of baggage that they need to get rid of, they don't know what they want. So in order to figure out what they want, they, you know, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to date this person and I'm going to go and date this person. I'm going to date this person at the same time. And you're trying to fill a void that can only be filled by you getting rid of your baggage so that God can bless you. You got to get rid of some of that junk. Erykah Badu said it best in her song. She said, "Bag lady, one day he gonna say you crowd in my space. One day all them bags gonna get in your way."
Yes, Lord. Bag lady, I sound good, y'all.
Yeah.
You don't miss your bag. You don't hurry up.
Why Shakina sound just like her?
But you know what? I always say that I use this as myself. One of the things, I've experienced, I would say, you know, going to adulthood is yelling. You know, you got a house of people that are always yelling. And now, as a relationship, don't raise your voice at me. You understand what I'm saying? Don't yell. I don't like aggression. You know, I have a problem with that. That's because that's something that I don't ever want to carry over into a relationship or to a home or into a marriage. The yelling or...
That's good, Tanisha.
Or responding with aggression, because I just feel like I've overcome that in my life. That's something that I had to, you know, had to release and have to pray on
and I dare not want to, you know, I'm just saying me specifically, want to go back to that. You know, there's a lot of things that all of us can say, some things in our childhood or in our household at that moment that we dare not want to have in our future or having, you know what I'm saying, to be a part of us, bringing that baggage along with us. That's one thing for me. You know, I don't know about for anybody else, but that's one thing, one type of baggage I dare not, I don't like. I don't even like it. Make this quick. A young man had called me one time, and he was like, "Oh, well, what happened? How come we didn't continue, you know, a relationship or friendship?" I said, "Cause the last conversation, you was yelling," and he was, and to him,
wow.
I was like, "Okay, Ann, I ain't your child." You understand what I'm saying? Because
wow.
if you do that now.
Wow.
You know, in our household, you're going to do that then, and it won't work. It won't work for me, you know. But I just wanted to put that twist of how baggage is, that we don't want to carry the baggage also, you know, in our marriage or in our family or even with our kids. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be hollering and screaming at my child, but go ahead.
Well, Tanisha, that would qualify as a baggage that it would take a special man, the man that God has ordained for you to be with, to be your husband. He would have to love you enough to help you unpack that particular bag. Because just because
exactly.
you might get into a heated conversation or y'all may be in an argument and he raises his voice, that doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. But he would understand you enough to know that that's something that you got to deal with me with. I don't like that. So you got to make a conscious effort not to yell at me. And pretty soon you will be comfortable with this man and you will know that he loves you and you will trust him and you won't have that baggage anymore. Does that make sense?
It takes doing the work, pretty much. You got to do the work. That's what we got to do. You know, you've seen some things that you identify within yourself. You don't like it. That's one of my issues, too. You know, when you learning how to argue, learning how to have a disagreement with your relationship. You know you don't like yelling, then you have to practice. When you feel yourself getting upset, what's your plan so that you don't respond
right.
how you don't want to respond anymore? And that's the problem with a lot of our relationships. We don't have a plan for the stronghold. We don't have a plan
wow.
for the addiction. We don't have a plan
wow.
of how we're going to overcome our struggle. What's your plan to overcome? So when I feel myself fussing with my significant other and I feel my voice getting a little higher and I know he's a man, so I cannot elevate, I got to figure out, well, I got to already have my plan in place, not in the moment, because trust me, in the moment, unless the Holy Ghost is strong on you, you ain't doing what's right. You going left. So I have to
right.
plan already and set in my mind that when his voice get high, let me fall back on scripture. A soft answer turns away strife. Or for those who's not
right.
saved,
right.
let
right.
me just be quiet. Let me turn around. Let me just
be quiet.
Sit down. Let me calm down. Let me be quiet.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Being quiet ain't no punk move. That's a power move.
Right.
Because you got enough control that you can quiet yourself down in the midst of somebody coming at you left and right. That's a power move. That ain't no punk move. But the enemy like to play on our mind and say, I'm grown too, and he ain't going to talk to me that way, and so I got something to say
right.
too. No, no, no. You now losing because the enemy have now allowed the spirit of division to come, the spirit of aggravation, the spirit of frustration,
absolutely.
The spirit of drama to seep into your relationship because you ain't have enough power to humble and submit to the moment that God was
Prophet Tanisha, can I ask
all right,
a question?
Go ahead,
real
John.
Quick?
I wanted to jump in there after John, real quick on that note.
Okay. I just simply wanted to ask, and then I'll let the ladies answer, is walking away, is that a good thing on a man's part, or is that because I hear a lot, and I have my personal opinion towards it. I feel like a lot of men, something about, I'm going to be very honest, at least from the brothers I know and from myself, something about a woman's, I got to be careful how I say this. I don't want to use the term nagging. Something about, there's a power in a woman's tongue. and oftentimes they know just how to get under a man's skin. And I hear a lot of brothers tell me, I simply walk away, and that creates more of an issue. I'll go outside for a walk. I'll walk away from the conversation. But I'm finding that a lot of women become extremely furious with the walking away method, even though the brother needs that for himself to calm down. Is that I need to know from a woman's perspective, is that a punk move? Is that a, you know, just what are your takes on it?
I'm going to answer that, and I'm going to let you go past the call. Walking away is good, but don't stay away. You understand what I'm saying? People can walk away for the moment and get themselves together, but don't stay away, meaning you still not communicating for days later. You understand what I'm saying? Because you have to address the issue. You may have walked away, but don't stay away, because then it becomes that person may feel rejected or neglected or, you know what I'm saying, all those type of emotions
come out.
But it's walking away is fine, you know. Walking away is fine. Going to
now,
the next room, whatever, that's fine. Just don't stay away. Go ahead, Pastor Carl.
There's an old proverb that says, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get it right, but he who walks away today lives to fight another day. Something like that.
Come on now.
I can attest to Prophetess and what in her response, because her and I are real good friends, real close friends, and I got on her nerves sometimes. I mean, I've taken her left, and what annoys me more than anything else, and not just her, I've been married now this year. Is going to be 21 years to the same woman. And I have the gift of walking away. I will leave
Praise
you arguing by yourself.
Praise God.
It's a special grace, and I give God thanks for it. And the next thing is, the next part of that is, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to sleep well when I go to bed. And the next part of that is, I'm not getting out of my bed and sleeping in no couch. We don't have that nonsense in my house. You can turn your back all you want to, but somewhere in the middle of the night, I'm gonna hold on to you, and I dare you to
praise God,
because it's gonna go right back.
Come on, man of God. Come on, man of God.
Because at the end of the day, it's all foolishness. No matter what we're arguing about, we cannot get anywhere, we cannot achieve anything until we decide to both take it down 1,000 and communicate, like Tanisha just said. And I've learned from my good friend and sister. My little sister taught me, you know, let me tell you something about her. She know how to hang the phone up. But she kind of saved with it, because she go when you hear she call me Pastor Carl, man of God, I'm gonna hang up now because I feel my flesh rising. You know you know she always trying to go spiritual. However, it helps to diffuse the moment, because nobody wants to be hung up on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants a call terminated in their ear. So you're gonna check yourself. Okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't screaming. I was just wait, just please don't hang up. You know, let me explain. But
right.
Communication is key, and you have to set ground rules. As Shekinah said, what is your plan? What is your plan when things start going left? For real. Because in any relationship, you're gonna have those moments. Nobody, listen. Like I said, I'm married 21 years. I don't like my wife every day.
Right.
I'm just keeping it real, and she can tell you she sure enough don't like me every day. The same way we don't get up every morning, sit on the side of the bed and start speaking in tongues.
Wow.
Because the reality of life does not apply in that sense. Those folks who do that, something's wrong with them. They're heavenly minded and absolutely no earthly good.
Wow.
Talk, man of God. Talk, man of God.
So ultimately, we have to. You got to have a plan. Now, the point that I wanted to make that with regards to the topic tonight is the baggage of financial indiscipline.
That is one of
the biggest toxic labels.
Yes. Yes.
To any relationship.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, if your little boy isn't taught how to manage finance, then there's going to be some problems. Because one, it takes a very mature man to yield his authority and come together with his significant other to identify who's better in the relationship with finance. I'll tell you the truth.
Right.
My friends will tell you, you give me some money, Carl's going to go shopping.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This is my method, and this is how I thought down the years. I may have graduated a little bit, thank God, but I think I work hard enough, and I deserve something for my blood, sweat, and tears. So,
Absolutely.
I'll go buy me a little something. But a little something might turn in, you know, what I might buy with one thing could cause a financial issue within the family unit,
right,
as it relates to the finances for the home or the relationship, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a baggage that needs to be addressed. It needs to be dealt with. Whenever I counsel people, part of my counseling sessions before marriage deals with finance. Who's going to handle the money? Let's deal with that now. Who's better with handling the money? So that you can break that ice down. And let me say this, fellas. Most of the times, the women are better at handling finances.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Let's just keep it real. They are much better with handling the finances, I think it's applied to their DNA. You know, they've been built to reproduce. So you know the concept. You plant a seed, the seed gets into an egg, and that egg produces an offspring.
Listen, sometimes we're good at finances. It all depends on, you have to watch the pattern of the spending habit of a person. You know, what they
have
spontaneously. When it comes to providing, we could do it because we could scratch a $20 bill for 3 days for a meal. You know what I'm saying? We could do that, you know. But you have to, I do believe that you still got to pay attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I've seen people in certain situations where, you know, they allow one person to pay the bills and they never got paid. You know, they may bought some shoes. You know, you got to wash that closet. You know, I'm just speaking from a woman. You got to wash the trunk of that car. You know, things that you see all of a sudden. Go ahead.
That's why it's supposed to be a united effort, but you come together to actually better with handling the bills, you know, but that don't mean you're going to keep your eyes closed and ignore the signs.
Right.
You know, the signs like you went in the trunk of the car and you saw some Louis Vuitton shoe bag. And you start to see different things just popping up. Oh, I've always had that. No. You know how long I bought that?
Yeah.
Today.
You know. Right. Right.
That's the same with men,
because Pastor Carl, you like to dress. Now that's the same with men, and a lot of distinguished men, you know, like to dress. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. Y'all go out and buy little stuff. You be looking like, where you had them tennis shoes? Oh, I've been had these tennis shoes. You're thinking like, I ain't never seen them shoes before. You know?
but it's the same thing. But it's all about communicating. You know, I believe
right.
in. Let me ask you guys this question here, and it's a 5-minute question. Why I have you on the line? I believe in. I like to communicate. I'm one of them people like, you know, if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it. We're gonna share. We're gonna, you know, all of that 9-yard type of thing. But do you believe that when you do make big purchases, should you communicate?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you decide, Pastor Carl, you know what, I'm going to go buy me a BMW today. I'm going to the car lot. Would you just go buy that BMW or would you, you know, call a lady and be like, you know, hey, I'm thinking about buying a BMW, da, 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 da.
Unless it's a gift for her, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's for the family, it ought to be a discussion. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And especially if you're not the one,
especially
if you're not the one handling the finance, it really needs to be
discussed.
Because
some people take that type of baggage of what's mine is mine, or I work for it so I can do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's some nonsense.
From their household, they take that baggage over as well. Like, you know, sometimes it's a selfish baggage, you know. This is what I work for, so this is mine. I don't have to tell you nothing, you know, type of thing. And not realizing that's just a...
Money is a touchy issue when it comes to marriage and relationships.
Right. But, you know,
I'll tell you what, because we're still debating on should we have separate accounts, joint account. Our generation is
right,
real.
Right.
His and hers, and, you know, the oneness is only limited to... sexual intimacy.
Certain things, right.
And then everything else. Yes, everything else is especially money. Don't touch my money. That'll work out. That's
right.
The mentality. So when it comes to finances, even as Pastor Carl said, you know, they have a system where his wife is the money manager. And I personally think in my own personal relationship, perhaps my wife would have to be the one in charge of the finances as well. Because of my spending habits. However, I mean, there are individuals who really who hold on tight, and I get it. You know, some come from extreme poverty situation, and you know, but if you're going to choose to get married, and my thing is with marriage comes sacrifice, comes vulnerability. I know somebody, you know, many of us have had that individual that pretended to be in love, pretended to like us, and only to find out they were only here for a free meal. They were only here for, you know, some money. Let's be real. I mean, most men in particular have.
Right.
We've experienced it. Let's be honest.
Yes, we have, men of God. Yes, we have.
You understand?
Hand up, John,
huh?
As well. They want you to help them up, you know?
Well, you know, personally, I struggle personally with some of that. I mean, even, you know, the complaint on my end is that I guess they say there's some pride in there because I don't really take the help because my mom raised me.
Right.
She raised me in such a way that she said the man is the provider. She instilled that in me. My mom and my dad had a great relationship. The one thing that she never liked about my dad is my dad went half on everything. And so she was very vocal. She would sit us down, four boys. My mom had four boys. She would sit all four of us down and she would say, you know, when you get married, your wife, this is her perception. She said, the woman was not designed to work. She was designed, this is my mom understanding, she was designed to help build that man. She
right.
never liked the fact that my dad had her working, that he accepted it. And she said, you know, that was her perception. He said he was a great man, but when it came to that, she hated paying bills. And he, you know, my dad was a very, very structured man, very principle-oriented. You know, at the end of the month, he would say, where's your half? She hated that. So she taught her as a man. I mean, she drilled this into our head. As a man, it is your responsibility to cover your woman, not just spiritually, but financially.
Absolutely.
So for me, I'm a little, you know, people say, John, you're a little crazy with it. That's just how I was raised, you know. That's how I was raised.
So
absolutely.
We're going to end this in about a couple of minutes. So, John, by saying that, which end of the stick are you on then?
She need to come with half, or she don't need to work? You with mama or daddy?
This is why I get criticized, because recently I was accused of, I was called a woman's oppressor. I was said that, someone said that because I said I didn't stand for a particular movement that's out, that bashes men, they said I'm oppressing women. Personally, this is my personal opinion, and I don't think, I'm going to go with my mom on this, I don't think a woman should work unless she wants to. I don't think she should work because you're putting a demand that she has to necessarily work.
Right.
If a woman says, look, this is my passion and I want to do this for the passion, and even if she, that's my personal opinion. Some people call me an idiot for it, but you can bring your half. I personally don't want it and wouldn't accept it because of how I was raised. But some women feel like, yo, I want to do this. This is something, you know, there's a clash with this generation and this whole women's liberation movement and, the feminist movement, which I don't support. But, you know, there's all these movements we have going on. They're kind of empowering women to be, I don't want to say, man, I got to be careful with my terminology, not equal. Well,
just independent.
Independent, and I'm be honest with you, I'm a little bothered with this. I'm a man. I'm not independent. I'm dependent on God. Two, I'm going to be dependent on my wife for something. I don't like the independent spirit that I'm independent. Saying, I think we're raising a generation of people who are saying I don't need anybody. I can do bad all by myself. I think it's a bad ideology. We need people. We all. We need each other. I think the old folk carry that mentality. I like it, personally. And so my wife, to me, she can work. She can do what she want to do. But I feel a strong obligation to cover the bill. And perhaps that is, that's my mom who definitely, I'm sure it's because of her, she definitely persuaded that and really impressed that on me. And even if I want to shake it off, I can't. I've tried. it's almost ingrained in me. And they call me an oppressor for it. They say I'm a female oppressor. I'm a woman's oppressor because I want to do this and I want to do that. And the woman wants to be liberated and pay her own bills and do her own thing. Cause she's a strong, black, independent woman, you know. And I'm like, I'm naturally a giver and a doer. I love doing. But
and John, there's nothing wrong with that because that's what you like. You understand what I'm saying? And if the person that you meet, if they figure that I'll work and they're gonna help, that's what they feel like they want to do or their passion. That's fine too. I think most men kind of would love to do that or feel that way, but a lot of times it all depends on, where you are and as far as your economic status, especially if you're here in South Florida, it's expensive, you know what I'm saying, as you may go different places, not an excuse, I'm not using an excuse. If you go other places, other demographics, it may be feasible. You understand what I'm saying?
I should move then.
Yeah.
I should definitely move.
Yeah.
I got to move.
Yeah, listen, well, that's why all the folks in Atlanta, they feel like they go to Atlanta, it's a little cheaper rent and all that stuff there. They above water for some reason for some people. But, I understand. But, guys,
it's
a great call. Go ahead. 2 minutes.
I just wanted to say, I'm going to make it short. I just wanted to say, I agree with John. I really do. I am that type of person as well. I was raised by some old school people, my grandparents. And they taught, my granddaddy taught me, he taught me how to take care of, my wife. And
men
that
like
way.
Gotta be
how,
careful
this,
too.
Right. Here it is, though. He also taught me that
as much as you are supposed to take care of that woman, you need to make sure that she is the type of woman. You got to make sure that she's the type of woman that can hold you down if ever you drop the ball. If ever you get into the position where you can't, is she willing to? If ever you get into the position where you can't pay but half, is she willing to pay half? Or is she one of these new age type women that say, oh, but you can't pay the bills? I'm done with you. Oh, you ain't got no job? I'm done with you. Oh, you can't take me out. You can't buy me Coach. You can't buy me Prada. You can't take me to Papa Do's. You can't take me out tonight. I'm done with you. No, baby, I need to know. If I'm willing to give you my everything, if I'm willing to sacrifice all of me, every dime that I have. John put up a post one time, and it says, you have a gentleman that has $100, and you need 50, and he won't give you the 50. But then there's another guy, me, I got 50. You need 50. I'm going to give you the 50.
Right, right.
But you would rather be with the guy that has the 100 that wouldn't give you none. He wouldn't give you anything. I need to know. Are you going to take my 50? Are you going to take my 50 and go get and go be with him?
He might take your 50 and his 50.
Oh, God. That's the problem. That's the problem with these serial daters.
I mean, he left that open.
Look,
I mean, John, he left that open. He left it open. I'm sorry.
That was good.
Listen, we ain't going to take it. We got like 1 minute on the line. So, guys, I just want to thank everybody for listening in, and I want to thank my hosts who are on the line. I also want to thank Pastor Carl for calling in and being on the line, giving us wisdom. Guys, you can check us here every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, Relationship 204. You can also find us on social media, Instagram, Relationship 204. Remember to like the page, also share it. You can like any one of us also and follow us on social media as well for upcoming things or events. If you would like for us to speak at an event, book us. Contact us at relationship204@gmail.com, relationship204@gmail.com. If you have any comments or concerns or questions, you can also contact us at relationship204@gmail.com. We want to thank you guys for being on the line. Hey, guys, I want to thank you guys for chiming in. John, I hope all is well with your daughter. I know you came on late.
She's great.
Thank you, Pastor Carl, for being on the line. Thank you, Gerald, Pastor G. Shakina had to get off. She was had another engagement she has to do. I want to thank everybody. Anybody have anything else to say before we end?
Yes, I do have something to say. Listen, you guys, I don't know if you guys have been watching the news, but in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, again, there has been another tragic, unnecessary police shooting of a 15-year-old boy. Over the weekend, this 15-year-old boy happened to be a young man that was a part of my mentorship program over the last summer, and he's also a relative of mine. So I'm asking that you guys keep the family in prayer, and as well as I'm asking for all of the leaders, Christian Bible-believing people that are tired of this thing happening, what seems like every day in our country. I need for you guys to pray, and I need for you guys to reach out to me on Facebook, because we're getting ready to put our faith to work and put action with our prayer. And we're going to be doing these peaceful protests here in the state of Texas, and we want We want to do this across the country because this is something that has happening everywhere. But again, 15 years old, God, and he was not a criminal.
Right.
He was not, you know, anything like that.
Pastor
15
Gerald?
Years old.
All right. If you guys want to contact Pastor Gerald, you can. You can do it on Gerald B. I think that's what it is. Also, don't forget tomorrow is National Prayer Day, which is around the world. I think most people start at 10:30 a.m. whatever your time frame or whatever country you're in. It's normally at 10:30 that everyone goes into mediation prayer. So be prayerful for our country, finances, leaders, everything that you can name. Make sure that you put in your prayer. I want to thank everybody for listening. You guys have a great night.